All right. While you're doing that, I want to jump in quickly this morning to our message. I'm talking about, how do you like this for a topic? Superior women, strong nation. All right? Ladies, that's your chance to cheer. Let me try. Superior women, strong nation. All right? We're kind of in women's focus. All right? So, guys, you're going to like this. We're celebrating our ladies. We're celebrating today. We're celebrating next week with Mother's Day. We're celebrating this month. And then we're going to transition into the month of June, and we're going to talk about biblical manhood and some of those issues. So you're not going to want to miss it. But I want you to get your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And on the board or on the screen behind me, it's going to start with verse 4, but I actually want to go back a verse to put some context. In verse 3, the Pharisees are setting a trap, as they often did for Jesus, and they basically want to get Jesus to go against the law of Moses as it relates to marriage. And so they ask Jesus this question: should a man be able to divorce a wife for any reason? Now, that question was a loaded question because, and I want to highlight this morning, in most places in the world where they do not have a Christian worldview or where the Bible has not been a part of that nation's culture, they have a very bad view of women and they have a very bad view of marriage. In other words, men are able to pretty much divorce their wife for any reason at any time. How many of you know that sets women up for a really, really bad life? When your husband can walk out and leave you for no reason, he can divorce you for no reason, it is a bad, bad situation. And I just want to put this in context. The reason we're in this series is because, here's my heart as a pastor. If you are a single man or single woman, I want you to have great relationships with the opposite sex, great friendships. I would like for you to find your spouse, a godly woman or a godly man. I would like you to have great marriages. I would like you to have great families, because can I just remind you all, when that doesn't work well, there's lots of pain that goes with that. There's lots of pain that goes with brokenness in family situation or brokenness in relationship. And I want to remind you all, there's not a Sunday that goes by that people aren't talking to me and highlighting the things they're still praying for and believing God for. Maybe it's a healed marriage. Maybe it's a son or daughter that's dealing with gender confusion. I don't know what it is, but I just want to tell you this. The earth is full of incredible pain. And it's usually pain between the sexes. It's pain that between the genders. It's pain because we don't know how to treat one another in the way God has established us, and we don't know how to act. There's a lot of confusion now. Wait till we get into the month of June. We're going to talk about all the toxic masculinity stuff. And it's hard for guys to even know how to be a guy anymore because so much of what it means to be a man is now currently under dispute. But here's what I want to remind you. God has given us His Word so that we can understand the world and we can understand God's ways. And as we talked last week, when you operate according to the wisdom of God and to the plan of God, you experience the blessing of God. I want this church to be a trophy. I want this church to be, when people come to this place or people know you, they see the goodness of God. Now, let me just backtrack, because anytime you're dropping a compass or a plumb line, that is what God expects. But how many of you know every one of us in this room have failed? So please hear my heart. This message isn't to kick anybody while they're down. If you're struggling and you're going through, you know, rough time, or maybe it's been your own fault, all right, in the relationship, we've all messed things up. This is not to kick you while you're down. This is to say this: God has established a plumb line that if we follow what God says, we experience maximum life, life to the full. Isn't that what Jesus said? I have come to give you life to the maximum, and maximum living comes from following God's design. To the degree that we veer off from God's design, thank God for the cross. We just celebrated communion together. Thank God for the cross, because it means the worst scoundrel amongst us, and Paul would say he was the worst scoundrel, all right, so we're in good company. The worst one among us can find redemption and healing and grace because of Jesus and because of the cross. So if you're broken this morning, the message is you can receive healing and restoration. If we're in rebellion this morning, the message is please repent, because there's more misery coming. And as all of us, we need to say, you know what? I want to do it God's way. Turn to your neighbor if that's true. Just say, you know what? I want to do it God's way. Tell them that right now. It's important. I want to do it God's way. So Jesus is asked this question by the stinking Pharisees, and they were stinking. Jesus, What do you say? Can a man divorce a woman for any reason? I want you to see what Jesus did. Jesus said, you know what? Let's go back to the beginning. Now, Jesus never, when he talked about marriage, he never talked about David's marriage, because, you know, David failed as a man in that regard. He didn't talk about Solomon. Thank God. You know, Solomon had the triple anointing of his father in terms of multiple wives, concubines. He did everything God said not to do in that relationship, he did. Jesus goes back to the Old Testament. Now, can I just tell you, there are evangelical pastors today who are saying we should get unhitched from the Old Testament. Well, Jesus didn't unhitch from the Old Testament. Jesus went right back to the very beginning of the Pentateuch, takes us right back to Genesis, and because here's why. He is establishing a prototype for marriage, for men, for women. And so Jesus says, look what it says in verse 4. Haven't you read the scriptures? Notice this. Jesus did not have an inferior view of the Old Testament. Jesus considered the Old Testament to be the scriptures, inspired by God. This is important because people dismiss the Old Testament today for a variety of reasons. They record that from the beginning, in other words, God's original, uncorrupted, undistorted design before sin entered. From the beginning, God made them male and female. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and his mother and is joined to his wife. The two are united into one. And since they are no longer two, but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. And then the Pharisees, but Moses gave us permission to write a writ of divorce, right? They're saying, Moses, they're appealing to the authority of Moses. And Jesus says, Moses only did that because of the wickedness of your heart, because of the hardness of your heart. I just want to say something. When you read things in the Bible, everything in the Bible is not endorsed by God. In other words, you know, Solomon's multiple wives and multiple concubines was not endorsed by God. Giving a writ of divorce because of people's wickedness and sin and selfishness was not God's original plan. It was what God allowed to regulate the brokenness that was happening. Y'all following with me? But God's original plan was not for people to be ripped apart, for families to be ripped apart, for kids to be ripped apart. That was not God's plan. God's plan was that a man and a woman would come together and literally become one. And God said, when they become one, don't you dare try to rip them apart. That was God's plan, and Jesus went back to the original because that was God's heart as it was clearly revealed. Now, let me highlight why in America we would have what Alexis de Tocqueville called superior women. Shortly after France's failed revolution, it was a godless, atheistic revolution that ended in a bloodbath. And I want you to see what happened after the French Revolution is the rise of Napoleon, who was a tyrant and who killed millions of people, all right? So my point is this. When you have godlessness and you reject the word of God and the law of God, you end up with bloodshed and tyranny. A Selah moment for where we're at in America today. Shortly after France's failed revolution, one of her magistrates by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville, many of you have heard of his quotes, he visited America. This was 1831 and 1832. He wrote a classic account called Democracy in America. He was searching for an answer as to why America, which was a baby nation, was flourishing while Europe was lagging. And this is what he concluded. He said, if anyone asks me what I think is the chief cause of the extraordinary prosperity and the growing power of this nation, I would answer that it is due to the superiority of their women and family life. Now, pause. This is amazing. He said, why is America prospering economically and growing in power as a nation? And this is what he observed. He said, it's because of the superiority of their women and of their family life. Let's pause here, because that's not what we would think. And look at what he said next. Certainly, of all the countries in the world, America is the one in which the marriage tie is most respected and where the highest and truest conception of conjugal happiness has ever been conceived. This is amazing. I'm going to paraphrase for you. He said, when you look at Americans, they seem to really like their marriages. Amen. There's happiness. There's unity. There's a complementary nature happening here. In other words, there's something about marriage and family life in America that's nothing like what's going on in Europe. In fact, how many of you have heard of the French philosopher Rousseau? He was actually a scoundrel as it relates to his personal life. I got a funny story. I was in my freshman class at Lake Central High School back in the day, and I had to write a one-page paragraph. It's funny, you can tell somebody's future calling by what they choose to write on. I wrote how America was becoming like Sodom and Gomorrah, all right? My teacher did not like that. I found out later that she had a stint as a Playboy bunny up at with Hugh Hefner in Chicago. And so she suggested when we had to write our term paper that I do my term paper on Rousseau. Well, I didn't know, but that was her nice liberal way of getting back at me for my Sodom and Gomorrah paper. Because Rousseau was not one of our friends, all right? He was a God hater. He was no model either of fatherhood or family life. I won't get into that. Rousseau was famous for believing that women were unfinished men. Now, let me just tell you, most of the poison of what you're watching on the news happening at Ivy League universities is because the required reading are people like this. When you have bad ideas, you get bad fruit. If you believe that women are unfinished men and inferior to men, I'm just trying to tell you, you're going to have some really, really bad fruit that comes out of a lie. I shared with you last week, when you believe a lie, there's consequences to a lie. And I just want to remind you all, where do people hear the truth if it's not in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ from the Word of God? Where do they hear the truth? Lies kill people. I told you the only good news about lies is they have a short shelf life. Thank God most of the craziness that's going on in America right now cannot continue because of its craziness, all right? Crazy only lasts for so long. And then people are like, I don't want to be crazy. I don't like living in pain. I don't like having everything not work, all right? And then you go, wait a minute, maybe we should go back to the way things used to be in a biblical way and return to the truth. And so here's the question that de Tocqueville asks. What ideas about women and the family made the American home so much stronger than those in Europe and in other places of the world? Can I remind you all, because you're never going to hear this anywhere nowadays either, but as much as people tell you America was not a Christian nation, obviously nations don't bow their knee and accept Christ, but nations are shaped by ideas, and can I just tell you unashamedly, this nation was shaped by the ideas of the Bible. And when it comes to marriage and the family, that was the textbook for how relationships are supposed to happen. So when de Tocqueville comes to America, and he's looking for the ideas, what he finds is ideas coming directly from Scripture. Last week, I shared with you some really, really important foundational principles. They came out of Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. In fact, Jesus quoted them in the earlier passage in Matthew chapter 19. He quoted Genesis 1, 27, and then he quoted Genesis 2, 24. Let's read that together, Genesis 1, 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then look at verse 28. Then God blessed them. And he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Here's what we discovered in terms of ideas. Men and women, point number one, were equally valuable as beings created in the image and likeness of God. Hallelujah. This is amazing. That means if you're seated in an aisle with a woman, you're not superior to her because of your masculinity. It means she's created in the image of God. It means you should treat her like a queen. It means you should treat her like a sister. It means you should give her honor and respect and dignity because she's made in the image and likeness of God. This is a game-changing idea that was found nowhere on planet Earth until God spoke. Men and women, while they're equally valuable, are different. And this difference is intentional, and it's good. So we shared last week, when your government offers a third option or fourth option, male, female, other, they're living in la-la land. La-la land. That means you're not in touch with reality. We should not allow this nonsense to happen. We should not allow this to take place. But I'm telling you, I'm talking to people every week. Oh, Pastor, you should see at work what they're making us do at work. Yet, listen, they're going to make you do it at work until we have people that stand up and say, no. Well, Pastor, I might lose my job. I get it. But what's the alternative? Deeper in La La Land. And listen to me, bad ideas hurt people. People's lives are at stake when you believe a lie. So the differences between men and women are good differences. And we should pay attention. And listen, the fact that God made a woman differently than a man means that there's something about the creative order that's very, very important for us to grasp. In other words, it's not just that women are slightly different than men. They're entirely different than men. Some of you that have been in marriage class should be really amening loudly right now, all right? But thank God. God said this is good. And so here's my point. We should not try turning men into women or women into men. This whole androgyny movement, is from the pit of hell. And I want to encourage you, we're talking about all these things in great detail on the podcast, so I encourage you to listen to Pastor Andrew and I on the weekly podcast that we do. And lastly, and this is great news, men and women are not made to compete, but they were made to complete one another. This is really good news, and I'll get into that in just a little bit. But let's talk for a minute about the power of bad ideas. Let's look at women in non-Christian countries. I cannot think of anything I could say this morning that would be more politically incorrect. But listen to me, I'm not trying to be politically incorrect. Do you understand that the gospel is always going to fly in the face of popular culture? I'm going to say that again. The gospel is always going to go upstream. Always. And you got to hear this. If you're a Christian, you have to have enough courage to be willing to go against the current. We're not revolutionaries. We're not trying to burn it all down. That's stupid. All you get is ashes. We're reformers, which means we're going to reform, which means there is a form, which means we're going back to the form and we're reforming it, which means we have an idea of the way things are supposed to be and we have the courage to go against the grain and to fight for that to happen. Now listen, we do it with compassion, as I shared last week, but compassion will not save one person. Compassion is always wed with the truth. You cannot lead somebody to Christ. You cannot bring about transformation in a nation apart from truth. Yes, truth must be spoken with love. Yes, truth must be spoken with compassion, but you've got to start with the truth. And telling the truth in every generation takes guts. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. So let's take a look at the lie that every ungodly nation shares. You ready for this? Here's the lie. The lie is they all believe that women are inferior to men. And I'm going to make my case. This lie is responsible for a host of evil and suffering in the world. And let me just begin listing some of these. First of all, let's talk about domestic violence. Big problem in America, but a greater problem globally. It's estimated that in America, 25 to 50% of women have been abused by their husbands. Pause. A quarter to half of women in America abused by their husbands. Now, you ready for this? This is why it's so exciting. We're sending Pastor David to Pakistan. We're planning a Roar School. Why is this so important? Why are these types of events so strategic? Because you ready for this? In Pakistan, an estimated 70 to 90% of women are abused by their husbands. I want this to sing. 70 to 90% of women abused by their husbands. Is it because Pakistani men are worse than American men? No, it's because they are not operating from a biblical Christian worldview that's influencing the culture. And so that's how they treat women. And the root of that is they think women are inferior to them. Some 30% of all women killed murdered in the U.S. were murdered by either their boyfriend, their husband, or their ex-husband. We have a domestic violence problem in America because we have not taught our men how to value women and how to treat them like queens and how to honor them. This is especially true in Asian cultures. Anybody that's Asian here, I'm not talking about your ethnicity. I'm talking about the belief system of your culture, which is not rooted in a Judeo-Christian worldview. The concept that was popularized by Confucius says this: men high, women low. Now imagine if your philosophical leader communicates that men are high, superior, and women are low, inferior. In fact, how's this for a cultural proverb? This is a Korean proverb. It says this: dried fish and women are both better after they are beaten. How would you like to be raised in a culture that actually practices that as a proverb? I just got to pause. When I was reading this chapter, and some of this data came from a wonderful book. When I'm reading this book, and I tried to communicate with some of our team when I'm preaching on this Sunday, it was so fresh in my heart, I could hardly talk without crying. Because you know what? As men of God, we should have a passion in our heart for brokenness and injustice, and where our toxic, godless masculinity produces this atrocious kind of behavior among women globally. It should break our heart. Not because I happen to have four daughters, but that has a way of tenderizing your heart too. A man by the name of Vishal, a nice long Indian named Mangalwadi, he's known as the C.S. Lewis of India. He said not one girl in his village was educated beyond fifth grade because men are superior, women are inferior. He said the Hindu sages taught that a soul with a poor karma is incarnated as a female to serve males. Hindu worship involved temple prostitutes as a means of spiritual enlightenment. And so now we have temples full of young boys and young girls who are being sexually abused in the name of worshiping a false god. Then we have the sexual violence and rape situation that's happening all over the world. We have a pornographic explosion that's happening. And can I just say, we'll get into this later, I don't know of anything that emasculates a man more than being trapped in pornography. Amen. And I don't know of anything that teaches a man and sets a man up for absolute failure in real relationships than pornography. Amen. And we just got to be honest. But we'll never get free until our hearts are broken. We will never get free until our hearts are broken. We'll never see women the way we should until we stop the pornography. The pornography also leads to prostitution. You've got prostitution. We got sex trafficking. This is why I want you all to get your passports and eventually to go outside of our country. You know, we've been in Cambodia before. We've been in Thailand before. I can't tell you how the anger I have in my heart when I'm watching a middle-aged Anglo white guy walking with a young Thai gal. And then you're telling yourself, okay, I don't really know this scenario. I don't want to judge this man because I don't know the scenario. But when you know that Thailand or Cambodia is one of the biggest sex tourism, where grown white men, Anglo men, go to spend time with young girls on a vacation, what a sick, sick thing. And when you put a face to it, it's disgusting. And it's happening all over. Sex tourism. Forced sterilization. We talk about abortion and infanticide. You know, let's take a nation like China. You all heard about the one-child policy China used to have. See, this is what happens when arrogant human beings try to play God. By the way, every climate alarmist is doing the same thing. In China, we got this great idea that there's too many people. So let's make the family only have one. Well, the Chinese also have this wrong view of women. Men superior, women inferior. So if you're a Chinese mother and you do the ultrasound, you find out you're carrying a beautiful little girl, and you only get to have one child because the government told you so. Can I just pause? The government has no business telling you how many children you can have. When the government manages your family and you only get to have one child and you're carrying a little girl and you know that a girl in your culture is viewed as a burden or is not superior and you want your son, here's what you end up with. This is real. 111 million men in China who have no hope of ever finding a wife in China because they're dead. So what do you do in your nation when you can't find a wife? Two things happen. Number one, you have men that are in homosexual relationships. And then you also have a new business. It's called human trafficking. It's called getting brides from surrounding nations by kidnapping them. This is what happens when human beings play God and they reject the standards God has established and the prototype and the blueprint God has established. So you have bride trafficking, sex tourism, as I mentioned, forced sterilization, female mutilation. Let's talk about Islam. And I want to make sure you guys hear what I'm saying. I am not talking about Muslim people who are made in the image and likeness of God and who are precious and valuable. I'm talking about Islam. Islam is evil. Islam hates women. Islam is responsible for honor killing. If a daughter in an Islamic family is not treated as a precious daughter, I got some of my daughters here in the front row. No, if she dishonors the family in any way, they kill her. And this is serious business in Islamic countries. You know, we also have something called dowry deaths, which in places like India, if the dowry is not good enough, the bride is abused and even murdered. Here's the facts. It's an estimated that there are 100 million missing women in the world today. But they're not missing, they're actually dead because of prejudice against females that killed them. And they all believe the same lie in those countries. They all believe that men are superior to women. So let's go back to our verse today, Matthew 19. Jesus said, "Haven't you read the scriptures? They record that from the beginning, God made him male and female. This explains why a man leaves his father and his mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. And since they're no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together." Now, let me just highlight this really quickly. The sexual union was the highlight. It ratified the marriage covenant. Again, I like to, when my kids find me kissing my wife, I like to show them my covenant ring. I got a permission to kiss her. There's something that comes with this. This is not a light thing. When you hear people say it's just a piece of paper, you have no idea what you're talking about. God wants us to form covenants. The reason we form covenants is to protect each other and to protect our families. And those covenants are to be marked by three things. They're to be permanent. They're to be monogamous between a man and a woman, and they are to be exclusive, which means you don't invite other people into your bed. All right? Hebrews chapter 13, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Now, let's go back to the culture. In India, for instance, because of polygamy, you're allowed to have multiple wives and multiple mistresses. It's all baptized in some type of perverted worship. You don't love your wife when you have 10 of them. And so you see Indian couples, and I can attest this, I've been to India many times. You see Indian couples walking down the street. You don't see Indian couples walking down the street holding hands. The wives must walk behind their husbands. So here I take my wife with me to India. We're walking down the street. I'm with a great man of God. And this is not because he's not a good man of God. It's because of cultural blindness. We get to the car. I open the door for my wife. Pause. My wife doesn't say to me, who do you think I am, some weak lady that you need to open the door for me? No. I'm trying to honor her because she's a queen. So I open the door. I open the door because I'm honoring her. I'm noticing my pastor friend, his wife is like 10 yards behind him. She's limping. She has a bad hip. And I'm looking at him because, again, I'm immersed in a culture of marriage. They're not. He is oblivious to the fact that his wife feels anything but honored at that moment. I open the door for his wife, thinking in my early days, like, maybe he'll catch on. My dad was at a marriage conference, doing a marriage conference. In that country, all the men sit on one side, all the women sit on another side. Let me tell you the cultural blindness again. Why is that the case? Our buddy, our Indian friend in that book tells the story of coming into a village and they accused him of being immoral because he was with his wife and he was holding his wife's hand in public and they accused him of being immoral. And he said, how am I being immoral? And he said, well, in our culture, our wives are forced to stay at home. They can't go out in public unless they're with their husband, and then they have to be completely covered. And one of the guys goes, wait a minute, you know why we do that. It's not about holiness. It's because I don't trust any of the other men around my wife, that, including my own family members, that they won't mistreat her and abuse her. So the issue isn't holiness. So my dad's standing there and looking at this group of men, this group of women, and it's starting to rain. And my dad says, hey, men, go get your wife's chair. Pick up her chair for her and let's move inside. The guy stood there like he was speaking a foreign language. If you know my dad, he said it again with a little more force. Hey, guys, pick up your wife's chair, carry it into the room for her. Dumb look. What does he do? He jumps off the stage, grabs an armful of chairs, models for them what that looks like, and then they follow, because what he's trying to say is the kingdom of God is transcendent. It covers every culture. In other words, what a godly marriage looks like in the Bible is cross-cultural. Use your strength, men, to serve your wife. Use your strength to honor your wife. Use your strength to care for your wife. Use your strength to help your wife. That's the picture of marriage. And yet they didn't get it. And then we did this. Turn and look at your wife. Do you know how hard it is for one of the most populous nations on the planet, India, for these men to actually look their wife in the face? Because the view of marriage, again, is not where it should be. Guys, you should be able to look your wife in the eyes and see the sparkle, and you should find delight in looking at her beautiful face. In fact, you should make a habit of looking at her beautiful face and telling her, while you're looking at her beautiful face, how much joy she brings you and how beautiful she is. But in some of these cultures where marriage is not held high, where polygamy is the standard, there is no sense of passion or love for your wife. That's why God said, bring them together, one flesh, for life. Focus on your bride. Focus, keep your marriage bed pure. Honor your commitments because it matters. See, in the Indian culture, it wasn't morally wrong to have a mistress because temple prostitution involved mistresses. In fact, one of the most popular Hindu gods is said to have 16,000 wives, but none of his wives is worshipped, but his mistress was worshipped in that culture. So easy divorce and polygamy will weaken women, because if a man can divorce his wife for any reason, or if a man can just get another wife and another wife and another wife, eventually that woman's rights and dignity are going to be trampled and crushed. And that's what we're finding all over the world. In some countries, adultery is illegal, not because it's immoral, but because your wife was considered your property. If your wife is your property, we got a problem, do we not? Your wife is not your property. Your wife is your co-heir in the grace of God. And so let me just share something here. Ladies, when you give in to the popular culture And you're supposed to be liberated sexually, which means now you can be as immoral as men. You are not encouraging the guy that you're with in any way, shape, or form to commit to you. If you're sleeping around and you're not married, your man is not excited about putting a ring on your finger and settling down and being responsible and leading you the way that he should. In fact, you're not helping him at all. And then when his idea of conquering the world is playing, you know, Call of Duty in the basement, and that's his virtual reality, you're going to have men that never grow up. You're going to have men that are perpetually immature. You're going to have men that don't know how to be a godly man and how to love you and care for you, because you're giving him no reason to do so. You are encouraging his immaturity. And I just got to say this. I had a woman come up to me a few weeks back. She said, you know, her husband left her, cheated on her, left her high and dry. That happens a lot, unfortunately, in sexually crazed countries like ours. And then she said, you know, so I got on Christian Mingle. And while I'm on Christian Mingle, I went out with a pastor. And after the first date with the pastor, he was wanting me to go to bed with him. I'm like, this is a pastor? But guess what? This is what happens when you have men who are not rooted in biblical truth and don't care about what God says. They're not men. They're boys. They're boys. Men, can I encourage you as well? If you have a young lady in your life that you love and care about, marry her. What are you waiting for? The average age not too long ago for marriage was about 22. The average age now in America is about 30. I'll tell you why it's been lengthened. Because the Mr. Stud Muffin that you're dating can stay at home and look at pornography all day long and can run out and sleep with whoever he wants to on the one-night stand, and he has absolutely no motivation whatsoever to pursue you or any other woman. This is killing our families in America. This is destroying family formation. This is creating immature Peter Pan men. They can't do anything and have nothing to offer a woman. It's also creating what we call the white liberal female. Have you noticed when they're taking the masks off of all of our Palestinian refugee camp people that are taking over our universities? Which, let me just remind you all, has very little to do with Palestine and has everything to do with Marxism. I go all the way back. The BLM and all that was going on that was clothed in some racial things certainly had some racial things, but underlying all of that was a massive Marxist underlying philosophy that said this: let's burn it all down, burn the whole system down, patriarchy, authority, the traditional family, burn it all down. We have no idea what's coming in its wake, but it was all rooted in neo-Marxist ideology. So here's the deal. We're unmasking the protesters. You know who they are? They're angry white liberal women. Let me show you the meme for angry white liberal women. And let me tell you, why do we have angry white liberal women? I can tell why they're ticked off. They don't know what a woman's supposed to be. We're emasculating our men. They can't find any good men. They can't find any guys that love Christ and actually treat them like something besides a sex object. And no wonder they're mad as you know what. So guys, I'm looking at a congregation full of really wonderful people. There's some great young men here. There's some great young ladies here. If you have a job and you can support a woman, pursue her. Not to have sex with her, to marry her. Two things. I'll close with this. When you reject God's truth about men and women, you end up with two disastrous results. Number one, you crush women. Do I need to elaborate any more on that? Women globally are being crushed. And can I just say this? A godly man wants to not only be virtuous in his own life and in his own home, but he cares about weak and defenseless people wherever they're found, women and children who are being crushed globally. Amen. I just pray that out of this church, there are people who get a heart for other nations of the world and for what's going on and want to do something about it. You know, can I just say this? We bring in a great man of God, Ivan Tate, and I realize some of you, he ruffles your feathers because he's footloose and fancy free and full of the Holy Ghost. I get it. But can I just tell you something? When I hear about the girls he's rescuing that have been so abused by men, listen, there should be something inside every man of God, because you're made as a man that you want to protect and you want to fight and you want to fight for something that matters. That's what healthy masculinity looks like. So you want to do something about people in other nations that are being trampled and crushed by an ungodly lie that is believed by the men who are abusing them in those countries. That's why, did anybody pay attention to what happened when Hamas came into Israel, what they did to the women? Did anybody have the courage to read those accounts? I'm trying to process this through the lens of my daughters. And we got these ladies who think they're going to go to Palestine, whatever that is, to be part of Hamas. Ladies, you think you're going to be treated differently? A man without Christ and a man without a biblical worldview will act like an animal. I would love to send some, not the ladies, but some over there who are all this and say, is this what you want? Because when you look at the women in those cultures, all you see is through a tiny little slit, they're treated like a slave. What in your mind would make you want to go to Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism? Go to these countries and look at how the women are treated. Travel the world. What would make you want to succumb to that? No one, of course, is saying this because it's true. Because it's offensive to our modern sensibilities. I'm on a roll. Why do you think in Europe, when we had this open border globalist thing, and all these Islamic men come into that country, why is it that women are being raped like crazy now? I'll tell you why. It's because Islam does not condemn that behavior. It encourages that behavior. We're having the same violence on streets in America. We're having the same mistreatment of women in America. How many urban areas do you want to go into after dark and just hang out? Not too many. Why? Because when you lose the knowledge of God in your culture, that's what you inherit. You inherit lawlessness. And listen, women lose. You reject Christ, women lose, and they lose big. So you're going to get crushed, and here's the second thing, you're going to be erased. When you cut off a man's genitalia, you do not get a woman. You get a eunuch. You don't get a woman. Ladies, what's happening right now? I told you I was going to close, and I'm going to, but I got one thing. I got to find it. We talk about this on our podcast. Is this what you want? This is an 82-year-old. God, I got to find my glasses. All right, here we go. Here. Got to get my act together. I'm a part of the Alliance Defending Freedom. They fight for our First Amendment rights. This is who they're defending in court. You ready for this? This is a woman who went to a gym. She was showering in the locker room. By the way, she's 82 years old. She heard a fully grown man wearing a female bathing suit watching two little girls undress in the ladies' room. She said the children appeared to be about 4 and 6 years old. She believed she was witnessing a predator in action, and she did what any reasonable grandmother would do. She confronted the man and asked him to leave. Instead of putting Julie's concerns to rest, the staff rushed in and began berating her for discriminatory response to a man who identifies as a woman who was helping little girls undress. On the spot, this health club banned her from that club for life. The police were called to kick her out of the building. And then they launched a sophisticated smear campaign to paint this lady as a bigot and transphobe in her community. This is an 82-year-old grandma who had more courage than most men in America, and she's being attacked by the government, threatened with fine and kicked out of her community, at least that part of it, her YMCA in that part of the country. Unbelievable. So here's what I would say to every testosterone-filled guy in this place. Doesn't it tick you off that an 82-year-old grandma's being pushed around like that? For God's sake. I'm sick of it. So Pastor Dick and Susie and Kenny, come on up here. I want you guys to get this. We're going to pray, and then I got to get you out of here. And you guys got to leave quick, or I'm going to be in big trouble with our staff. Pastor, you preach so long. We got traffic jam and all that kind of stuff. Listen, can you understand now why planting a Roar School in most of the nations of the world literally means help, hope for women, for families, for marriages? I mean, we preached on a biblical view of marriage in Honduras, and the pastors were all repenting with tears because their homes were out of order. Ladies, come on. The world needs Jesus. The world needs the gospel. And we're looking for a few good men, and we're looking for a few good women. So let's pray for these wonderful folks. Lord, thank you for the vision to plant these Roar Schools, and thank you for the blessing, Lord. In Pakistan, 70 to 90% of the women abused by their own husbands. God, we need a revival. We need the church. We need godly leaders. And Lord, the other nations we're going to, Liberia, Tanzania. Father God, we pray, bless this apostolic effort. We're laying foundation that's going to be there for generations to come. We pray for good health. We pray for supernatural traveling grace and strength. We pray that as these building blocks are laid when launching of these schools, Lord, that they would bear fruit till Jesus comes. We love you. We honor you. Thank you, Lord, for these part of our church family who are able to go and able to do this heavy lifting. And Lord, we just pray, bless them. Bless David, Lord. And just pray again as he's in Pakistan that you bless his efforts. And we thank you for these schools that are going to pop up. And Lord, that will touch many, many lives. And so, Lord, be glorified. And thank you for the provision financially. Thank you for faithful people. We bless you guys now. We love you. We send you out with the full blessing of this house. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, if you need prayer, come on down, all right? We'd love to pray with you. If you're brand new, come on up. We'd love to meet you, all right? Have a great day.